Thanks, guys. Thank Jesus. How many of y'all glad to know there is a kingdom that has come? It will be done. God's will is moving through. God's will has taken hold. You are a part of God's will today. Have you ever thought of it like that? You are a part of God's will. You are a part of what God is doing in this moment of time. How many of y'all glad to know because our sin has been forgiven in Jesus Christ? Because we are filled with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, that one day heaven is our hope, but it's more than our hope, it is our destiny. How many of y'all glad to be connected to all that going on? That's what you're living in. Now, it's kind of a challenging message today. If you go to the second chapter of Galatians, as we go through Galatians, it's about the gospel. Remember, here's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news coming from God, given to people. Good news coming from God, given to who?
People.
Now, the gospel is where it is. And Paul is now in a debate because we've had some folks called the Judaizers, and they are adding to the gospel. How many of y'all have ever called somebody, you told them something, but they added a little to the story? Any of y'all ever had that moment? If you work in a group of people, how many of you, by the time the story gets back to you, the story is either bigger than it needs to be or smaller than it needs to be? How many of y'all have had these experiences? But the story is not exactly what it used to be. That's it. How many of y'all have ever had that experience?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it can even happen in families. You know, like, sometimes when Clacy tells me a story, it has a little Clacy slant on it. And there's always, if Dad tells a story, they accuse me of kind of, you know, I like my stories to have more drama to them. So sometimes I take liberty with how to fill that in. Okay, but here's what I'm telling you right now. The gospel is able to go to high places. Now, Paul is going to take the gospel to a high place. In fact, if you look at the history of Jerusalem, it was known as a high place. It was a place where the temple was. It was a place where the Jews had gone and experienced God. It was the place that Pentecost had fallen and God really initiated and ignited the church into existence. So Paul, some 14 years later, in the second chapter of Galatians, verse 1, some 14 years later, he is returning back to Jerusalem, a place that he is familiar with, and he is carrying with him a gospel that is true. The gospel will go to high places. Now, let me propose something to you today. I think sometimes we think the gospel's intimidated by our high places. Huh? Like sometimes, just suggestion, it doesn't seem like we have much room for the gospel in higher education. We kind of fear the what? Gospel. Sometimes when we get into high government, we feel like that the government doesn't need to hear the gospel because they got it all figured out with their governmental understanding. And so I'm gonna really propose to you today that guess what? Our job is to not prove the gospel. It is to state the gospel. It's amazing to me. Have y'all ever had anybody ever ask you your opinion? How many of y'all have ever had this happen? They ask you your opinion, you share your opinion, and then they get mad at you. Now, what is this? Don't be mad at people if you ask them, hey, I need to know your opinion on this. And when they share your opinion, if it doesn't line up with your opinion, don't be mad at them because you ask for that opinion. It makes sense? But it's amazing with Christians. I have this happen sometimes. I'll be in a dialogue and so they'll go, hey, Ayers, do you believe Jesus is the only way into heaven? I go, yes, I do. I don't have any other leverage. I know this is not popular, and I know this, you know, this doesn't line up with MTV and VH1 and BET and CBS and MSNBC and all of these great people that you follow. However, I believe Jesus is the only way because I believe the Bible to be true. And in the Bible, we have definite evidence that Jesus says he's the only way. And see, I get myself in trouble. People ask me, your opinion. Do you believe this to be sin? Yeah. When we don't want it to be sin anymore, does it make it not sin? Does that make sense? And so Paul is carrying a gospel that changes our lives to a high place called Jerusalem. And he stays with the gospel even when it's not comfortable. So I want to challenge you guys. You got to stay with the gospel even when it's not what? And a lot of times people are going to challenge your gospel. Because I tell them, Ms. Ann, I tell them, I say, I believe Jesus is the only way. And then I just let it go. Okay, I don't want to make judgment. I just let it go. And then they'll come back around about 5 minutes in a conversation. And they go, so. I always know when I hear the so, what's coming? It's this question. So you believe if I don't receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I don't ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, then I will not end up in heaven, but end up in hell. Yes. How can you believe that? You're a bigot. And then they'll go, how can a man who's been to as much school as you have such a narrow belief? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. At the moment in the United States of America, we have the freedom to believe that without dire consequence. Not everybody in the world has that freedom. Do you realize that Christianity, those who follow Jesus Christ, let's call it Jesus following, is going on more in other parts of the world than it is in the United States of America? Okay? God's not dead and God's not done. He's being released all over the world. And people are receiving Jesus in a very high, intense way because they've come to understand this. The gospel works. Now, don't kick me out of the church and don't get too alarmed. I want you to really consider some things. I believe we need to have government. I believe in government. We have to be governed in some way, okay? Now, watch this, but here's what I want y'all to understand. The government will never outlast Jesus. And I just don't want you to get confused. Please don't put your faith in government. Because you gotta be a little bit smart, okay? You got just a little bit smart. You gotta read history. Think about how many governments Jesus has outlived. Think about how many empires have faded since Jesus has left. And we're not the first government system to figure out if you give free stuff to people, you can control them. We're not the first group of geniuses to figure that out. That's been done in history before. There was a little empire that Jesus was realized when he was here. It was called Rome. And they used to throw free bread to the people. Power to the people! You see, the problem with that is, Jesus said, pray today for your daily, know where it comes from. Because if you know who gave it to you, then you know who to serve. Follow Jesus. Paul screams this message into a culture that said, yeah, Jesus is okay, but what about Zeus? And what about Apollo? And what about Mercury? And what about all the other gods, Sean Pugh? How could you be in an institution of higher learning and have such a primitive belief? How many of y'all found some things just work? They just work. No matter how sophisticated or technologically advanced we get, they just work. They're true. Jesus is true. He saves people, wonderful people. He loves people and he wants to forgive people and he wants to save people. But you got to get real with Jesus. And Paul had a knack of staying with the real thing. Now, here's where we go, okay? You can't add on to the gospel. Tell your friends, I can't have an add-on. Come on, tell them. We got to get this. I cannot add on. Come on, tell them I cannot add on. Y'all are good today. Come on. I can't add on. Y'all have never heard any gospel add-ons, have you? Y'all ever heard things like this? If you smoke a cigarette, you'll go to hell. Y'all ever heard that? That's a gospel add-on. Now, you may smell like you visited, but you will never go there because of that. You know, I mean, have y'all ever been to one of those revivals? It's usually big old preachers, heavy preachers that die about 55 because they have a heart attack. And they got that big Bible up and they say, I'm okay, yeah. I don't know what happens to their language. They don't speak English when they're preaching. I heard this. This was live. This is not something I read about. I watched it as a kid. I'm in a revival, and they go, "If you smoke a cigarette, you will go to hell." And I went, "Okay, it's over for me." That's called a what? Add-on. I've heard this before. If you wore shorts, God wasn't pleased. Well, who made your legs? Huh? You say, "My legs are messed up." God didn't make them that way. You messed them up. True? Yeah. What's this? Those are add-ons. So we got an add-on problem in Galatians 2. Here's what they did. We have Jewish Christians, and in the Jews, guess what they know how to be? Following. Mike, yes. Jewish, thank you. Jews know how to be what? Watch this. Hey, don't be surprised about this. Kentuckians know how to be what?
Redneck.
Now, how they... Gosh, that's awful. It's awful. I'm sure all you fine, refined, multicultural people that have showed up here today. You know, this is a very integrated church. Not everybody at Hillview is a redneck. Amen?
Amen.
We have people here from Wisconsin. There's no way they can be a redneck from Wisconsin. I mean, how do you say, "Y'all"? See, it doesn't sound right to you. "Y'all." How many of y'all have noticed in Kentucky, we do not use separation between our words? I mean, we'll have a whole phrase, but it's one word. Like, "Right?" That is, "You reckon." Right? See, it's all one word. Right? And you have to learn this language. It's a tongue that Jesus will give to you as you live down here long enough. Right? All right. Here's the one I never got for a long time. I was out in the country, and I preach. I love being out in the country. I love country folks. And this guy kept saying, "I got to hide him." Man, I looked around the church for three weeks trying to find Addie. I didn't know where she lived. I couldn't find her address. And he had her hid somewhere. He said, "I got Addie." And I'm like, "You got Addie?" And then finally it dawned on me after hard moments of prayer and asking God to give me an interpretation for this spiritual language. And Addie was idea in English. An idea. We have different languages. We have different moments. We have different customs. We have one Jesus. Now, here's what's so cool about Jesus. He works the same way for everybody. No add-ons. So here was the problem. The Jews were saying this. It's okay for these Gentiles to come to Jesus. We're glad they're asking Jesus to forgive them of their sins. We believe Jesus died on the cross, that he's risen from the grave, that he's the way to heaven. But these Gentiles are going to have to get circumcised and own up to what God told the Jews. And Paul is going, He said, circumcision is not an issue of saved or not saved. It's not an issue of heaven or hell, and it's not a requirement. But how many of you have requirements on your gospel? So there's some things I want to expose you to. I believe anybody can be saved. How many of y'all believe that? See, you go by what you believe. What's this? I believe people from all different cultures and races can be saved. Do I believe that? How you know?
You tell it every week.
Well, here, I want to show you. Stand up and look around. Come on, stand up and look around. We can move in worship, but look around. What do you see? Look around. Make an observation. Come on, balcony. Y'all going to sit for another hour. You might as well get a little break right here. No, I'm just kidding. Look around. Look around. What do you see in this room?
Everything.
All right, you can sit down. Good. How many of y'all saw that not all of us look alike in the room? That's good.
Yep.
Now, how many of y'all realize God made us all?
Yep.
That's good. How many of y'all realize the only way we can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's forever.
Yeah.
So Paul's got a deal. He's got to walk up. He said, 14 years later, I had to return to Jerusalem. He didn't go alone. Guess what he did? He took Barnabas with him. Why did he take Barnabas? He's an encourager. How many of y'all got encouragers in your life? I've picked up 5 forms, the Word of God, and an announcement from Jamie Ward about a free spaghetti dinner over at his house. Look at here. Paul said this. No, it's really not. Don't show up there. Verse 1, chapter 2. Here's what he said. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus also along with me. So he's got Barnabas and Titus. Watch this. He's got a Jewish guy and he's got a Gentile guy with him. He didn't go without credibility. Paul was Jewish. Barnabas is Jewish. Titus is what? He's Gentile. Now, anybody know what Gentiles are? Gentiles are people that are not Jewish. Y'all got it? Let's see. I'm going to test wisdom over here. Now, I'm not going to pick on Jerry in any way, but he's a man of wisdom. Jerry, are you a Jew or a Gentile?
Started out Gentile.
He started out a Gentile. Okay, now, he's going to get theological on me, see, because he knows the Word of God. And what happened to you?
I was adopted as a Jew. I got saved.
You were adopted into the Jewish promise of Jesus and got saved, which makes you a spiritual Jew-Gentile. No, that is correct. Spiritually, he's correct. I mean, I realize part of us is Judas. You're Jewish, not Judas, Jewish. A lot of you are Judas. You see, because the promise to Abraham is he would be the father of what? Many nations. And so Paul's going to a familiar place, a high place, a place of authority, Jerusalem. He doesn't go alone. Takes Barnabas, takes Titus, and he heads up. He gets there. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for the fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. Now, Paul's like a lawyer. He's going up and he said, first of all, I went to Jerusalem not because I wanted to go prove a point, but because God's what? Revelation. Now, we talked about this last week. Listen, young guys, got to talk to y'all for a minute. Y'all got to quit moving on opinion and start living in revelation. The sooner God reveals to you and the sooner you listen to that, the sooner you lined up for a full and abundant life. This is crucially important. Don't marry who God... No, marry... Let me get this straight. Watch this. Marry who God reveals to you instead of who you want to get married to. You know why there's so many divorces? You married them. You didn't ask God if that's who you need to be married to. You didn't say, God, is this my partnership? God, reveal that this is correct. Guess what? Now you're following Jesus. Guess what I want you to do one day in the name of Jesus? I want you to get married to a beautiful, godly husband who's going to love you and nobody else. We'll go ahead and pray ahead of time that he make a lot of money to give glory for the Lord and be a strong man.
Right.
Now what? Do you all see how excited Sarah was? Now, some of you men, Marcus, did you catch that? If I was a young man, and I'm going, man, that's a good-looking girl, and she's all excited, what was she excited about? Being a godly man. I would note that. Because guess what? When you're a godly woman, if you're praying for a godly man, guess what kind of man God's going to reveal to you? A godly man. And then what some of you girls do is do this. Well, I don't like his hair. God don't care about his hair. God ain't doing makeup he's not doing a show. He's doing a life. Follow what God reveals to you. Paul will make a difference in Jerusalem because Paul didn't send himself there. God sent him there. Now, you know what a lot of us do? We go barging in before we've been revealed. Sometimes you go, well, man, I just don't fit in that place. You know why? Because you don't fit in that place. You know why? Because you're not supposed to be there. You go, well, the Lord sent me. Check your invitation. If he sent you, it would be working. So guess what might have happened? He didn't send you, he sent somebody else. And so we got two people out of place. Does that make sense? People ask me, pastors ask me sometimes, they say, where else do you know how to grow a church? I said, in South Central Kentucky, in Bowling Green, in Warren County, I do. Beyond that, I don't know. That's honest, I don't know. You know, I'd be shot in a lot of places in America for the things I say. I'm shot on emails. Hawking, this sermon right here will go out on the internet, and I'll have people write back and say, I cannot believe that you're so close-minded that you don't believe other faiths are going to heaven. Believe it, I'm that close-minded. I am setting our stakes on Jesus. There's the faith. Now, don't be obnoxious. See, here's where Christians get a bad rap. They're noxious. You know, they come up to their Buddhist friends and go, "Na na 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 na, you're not going." This is not an attitude of Christ. Our desire is we want everybody to what? Go. But we can't compromise when somebody sits there and says, "Well, don't you think Jesus is just going to just let everybody in?" You have zero evidence of that. Now, here's what scares me in our generation. We think that we're going to get a total pass on sexual immorality. I'd read the book on that and I'd be real clear on that. Let me help you. Not! And you know what I am? For you educators, I want you all to start doing something. Please, would you please teach our kids some history? They all think in this generation that they're creating new stuff. And all they're doing is living some really old, old stuff all over again. Nothing new. Nothing new. Tattoos, 5,000 years old. Piercings, old, old, old. Sexual immorality and trying to make what's wrong right? Ancient. Beginning of time. So we got to watch. Because Paul says it's about who? So if it's about Jesus and you get truth in you, then what's going to happen? You will what? Change. So Paul takes it up high. How many of y'all believe the gospel? Watch this. Let me put it in our reality. How many of y'all believe the gospel can handle Washington? Okay, now you understand Paul's situation. Okay? Whether you like the politics now or dislike the politics, it really doesn't matter to me because guess what I know? A government cannot save you. A government can feed you. For a little while. A government can house you. For a little while. And a government's going to give you some substandard health care. For what? A little while. But then what's going to happen? You're going to die. I wish you all were as tore up about eternal care as you were health care. Because guess what I know? Jim, guess what I know? You're going to die. I'm going to die too. What do you think about that? Weekly? I don't care how many cool guns you got. Guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Big car, guess what's going to happen to you? Now look at your neighbor and just tell them the truth. You will die. So y'all hate saying that. You're like, what? What? You will? Yeah. Now let's get down to it. Now hold on. I've done a study on this. I'm going to publish it. 10 out of 10. Die. Now, I don't want to offend you doctors in here. I love you doctors. And when I have temporary problems, I'm glad to have doctors. But guess what? No doctor is good enough to keep you alive forever. Because guess what problem the doctor has? She going to die too. So there's a moment we got to say, wait a minute. We got to get real serious and go, wait a minute. What happens after I die? Oh, Paul says it's the gospel. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Paul looks at these leaders and says, listen, the gospel that I preach to the Gentiles is no different than the gospel that's preached to the Jews. It is the reality of Jesus to the world. He goes on and says this to him. He says, look, you can't prove it because God made it. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks. And they were trying to take our freedom and spy on our freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ because they wanted to make them slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain in you. Here's the truth of the gospel. God has a plan. He created you. He made you. He loves you. How many of y'all dig that part? See, that part's really cool. Now tell me real loud. I want to hear real loud just so we get this down real good. What is our human problem? You all are some good sinners over here in this section. This was really weak right here. What is our problem?
Sin.
Say it.
Sin.
Now you got to believe that. Right. Listen, if you don't believe in sin, there's no need for Jesus. If you're following Jesus without realizing you're a sinner, you're insane. See, we got to have a need to be saved. That's why y'all see me get all red faced and my little ears twitch on the side of my head right here when I hear people trying to take away sin. Now, Reverend Bobby, why are they trying to take away sin? Because if you take away sin, you don't need a Savior. Which is, you're not in just a, you know, biological race to your destiny. You are a real human being created by God, loved by God, made by God, and desired by God. Let me tell you what, don't ever tell me somebody doesn't love you. God loves you. But the reason you can't feel God's love or experience God's love or embrace God's love is because there's a big problem. What is it? Pastor Keith, what is our big problem? Sin. Look at Pastor Keith. He's got cool 21st century hair and he still knows sin is the problem. It's not your mama. It's not your granddaddy. It's not the way you fell off your kiddie car. It is sin. Got good news. God said through Paul, Peter, and others that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, and that forgives us of our what?
Sin.
If we'll do what? Repent and respond to God, where do we get to live forever? Heaven. Paul believed that. Peter believed that. And guess what they decided to do? They said, wait a minute, we're preaching the same gospel, the same Jesus, the same delivery, but we got different people to preach it to. They came to the conclusion that Paul's message was correct. The gospel is real. Look what he said. I don't need men to verify it. But then on verse 7, he said, look, on the contrary, they saw what I'd been trusted with in the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work as a ministry in Paul to the apostle of the what? Gentiles. So he said, James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Then they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was is that we should continue to remember the what? The poor. The very thing I was eager to do. You know what they were saying right there? Wait a minute. The same Jesus changes us all. How many of y'all glad to know that? The same Jesus changes us all. Now, church, I want to encourage you. We got to keep preaching and teaching and loving. And guess who we got to be about? Take a guess again.
Jesus.
And take a guess again.
Jesus.
100 years from now, who will it be?
Jesus.
Coach Rogers, I'm kind of like you. You know, you're going to run a wing tee. And guess what you're going to run next week? Wing T. And the week after that, you know what I loved about Coach Rogers? He was like, this is what we do. Guess what God says? This is what I do. And I'm going to do it in you all the way to heaven is what he says. Is that not amazing or what? There's not an option. So guess what? If you want into heaven, who you got to come through?
Jesus.
Does that disappoint some of y'all? But it does disappoint some people, T, because they're going, well, wait a minute. You mean my good works don't count for anything? Well, people like you better. But just because people like you doesn't mean what? You're going to heaven. It just means people like you. You go to heaven because Jesus said you could. Are y'all cool with that? And he would love to love you and change you and come into you and be a part of your existence all the way in. Like, and here's how long Jesus would like to stay. Forever. Y'all cool with that? I don't know another gospel, guys. I don't have plan B. I got plan A. We're going to lay all our chips on plan A. What do you think? So that beautiful little girls like Jay can say, Lord Jesus, you have come into my life. And Jay, guess what? You did something that some adults don't have the guts in here to do. You declared Jesus as Lord today. What do you think about that, girl? Don't tell me God doesn't use women. Leonard, I read the book. Guess who was at the tomb? Women! You know why God sent the women to the tomb? He knew they'd tell him. God looked for his fastest source of communication on the word. He said, I have made women. Praise God that he has. Amen. Now, guys, let's get there. The gospel will go up, it will stay with, and it will complete all things because the gospel has a name. Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in flesh. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't understand that. I said, I don't either, but I believe it. I believe it. I believe Jesus is God in flesh. How many of y'all believe that? So Jesus is God. So if you ask me, Pastor Steve, do you believe Jesus to be God? I say, yeah. Why do you believe that? I said, I think God came down here and became one of us so we could understand heaven. What a merciful message. I believe I'm a sinner. How many of y'all believe you're a sinner? How many of y'all believe you've broken the Ten Commandments? That wasn't hard. Okay, if you've broken the Ten Commandments, watch this. Not if you've broken the Ten Commandments, because you broke the Ten Commandments. I'm just going to confess for you. How many of y'all really know you've broken the Ten Commandments? How many of y'all fudge on them a little bit? Go have no other gods before me. Well, it's not like I have like a totem pole or anything. See, we always like to play, watch this. I love this one. Well, did you commit adultery or not commit adultery? Well, it was like kind of, but not, but it was, but then it wasn't. One time I heard a president talk about is for 30 minutes. God doesn't have any conversation like this. Guess what he has? I am. I am God. You are not. That's what he meant by that. I am forever. You are going to die. I am the beginning, so I knew what started it. I am the right now, so I know what's going on. And I am the will be, so I will get to the end that's already there before you arrive there. But then there's a fourth thing that God states himself as that is just tremendous. God is the lover of our souls. You ought to give him praise for that. God is the lover of our what? Souls. So that when we die, we can what? Live. It's a little crazy. Any of y'all ever watch Western movies? I love Clint Eastwood. I think he does good movies. Y'all ever remember the movie Outlaw Josie Wales? It's a great line in Outlaw Josie Wales. Josie Wales, outlaw. Outlaw, Josie Wales. He walks in. He goes up to the, you know, grape juice bar there. He goes up. And he looks over at this guy and he goes, you be a bounty hunter? He said, you be outlaw Josie Wales? And then he looked back at him and he said, dying ain't much of a living, boy. Bam, 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 bam. I know, you shouldn't watch violence. That's why I'm so messed up. I played Army when I was a kid, too. I shot my friend with a BB gun. We even shot another friend with a pellet gun, pumped up four times in the leg to see what it would do. Don't ever do that to a human being. I've already run the test. We survived somehow or another. We did. We did weird things. We played outside. In the dirt. And our moms did not wash us off with antibacterial soap during the day. We ate with dirty hands. And rode in the back of a station wagon where the gas tank was turned around backwards waving at trucks with no seat belts on. I actually jumped a ramp without a helmet. Landed on my head. They did not take me to the emergency room. It's what God made duct tape for. We survived. We survived. Now watch. Paul said, this gospel cannot be added to nor taken from. It is the real thing. So we got to preach it, teach it, love it in all generations. So what I got to warn you about today, don't let the world tell you who Jesus is. Three things Jesus is not. He's not only human, he is God. He is not a friend. He is a Savior, a Lord. He is not temporary. You and I are. Jesus is not worried about health care. He's got a great health care plan. Why don't we get Jesus care? I like His care a lot better. No waiting in the emergency room. You know, if you're blind, it's just see. Next patient. Oh, you're lame? Go walk. Next plate. Oh, you have issues with bleeding? Be clean. Now, y'all are going, well, Pastor Steve, don't you think that was mythological and allegorical in the text? No. I think when God said you are, you are. So check us out today. God would say this about you today, if you feel Him drawing. He says, you are forgiven. Amen. Now, this blows me away. And when He says we're forgiven, He said He makes us fit for heaven. I mean, I'm glad to be fit for heaven. All right. Well, if you're glad to be fit for heaven, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. If you're glad to be fit for heaven, or you're thinking about you might like to go, or you would like to end up with God forever one day, if you just simply stand up. And if not, go ahead and stand up anyway. Fit for heaven. Jesus is willing to make us fit for heaven. All right, listen, we got an altar call today. Listen, I want everybody to gear down. Listen. Boom, boom. Let God speak to you. Listen, we got to get some demons out of here right now. The demons of McDonald's, Hardee's, and all fast food restaurants. Be gone. I want you to think about where you are with Jesus. I don't need another meal. Literally, I could probably miss a few meals. I'd still survive. But you know what I can't miss today? Reverend Dr. Ward, guess what? If somebody misses Jesus today and dies this week, they'll be forever without God. That's a serious risk in this moment. Pastor Keith, you play the guitar because somebody might come to Christ. If you were in it for the money, you'd be in Nashville last night. You'd been a cool country singer. I mean, you can't sing country, but you'd have made a new kind of country singer. Country goes metro or something like that. I don't know. You know? Can you imagine Sean Pugh, Minister Pugh, as a country singer? He's got more country in him than y'all think. See, that's what happens when you judge people by externals. Nobody here is being judged by how they look. Thank God. But you are being judged to how you could live. You could live in heaven. How many of you today, listen, there's some people in here today, for the first time in their life, guess what they get to say? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me my sin. I believe You're the gospel. Thank y'all for being here today. Thank y'all for being different people. Jews, Gentiles. I mean, we got a lot of Gentiles here in Warren County. We just don't have a large Jewish population in Bowling Green. Got to go to Louisville, find some Jewish friends. Guess what we do have? We got people who love God. Because we have a God that loves us. There's no compromise to the gospel. Some of y'all wonder why I get bent out of shape. I get very angry when I see people who are supposed to be ministering, who have a deeper allegiance to other things than the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Tell them, come. We could sing, He's tenderly and gently. You remember that? Calling. Calling today. Yeah. You ready? Somebody going to meet Jesus today. There's going to be a lot of you. 3,000 of you would like to be saved today. That's fine. We've seen that before in the Bible. How many of y'all just can't wait to get to heaven? Yeah, cool. Well, guess what? Make sure you bring some of your friends with you. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to end it next week. I don't. I've got too many of my friends not going to be in heaven with me right now. Jamie, I don't want God to end it because you know what? Not everybody in this room is going to heaven right now. Pastor Eric, guess what? Even though y'all study hard and got handouts at the gathering, I've seen handouts my whole ministry career. And guess what? They never saved anybody. Songs that never saved anybody. Shane, you know those candles we light now?
Uh-huh.
We did that when I was 12 years old. That was cool back then. That's been a long time ago. Nothing new we do. The longer you live, guess what you're going to find out? Ain't nothing new. Ain't nothing new. More I read history. I know I should say it better that there isn't anything new. Ain't nothing new. But there's nothing new. We humans have run out of tricks because we're hopelessly in one place, sinners in need of a loving God. So we have a God that looks upon us and says, what? I am Jesus. I am the one that is God, the glorified God that died on a cross, that shed real blood so that you could be saved and you could reign with me forever and ever. There is no other God. And on the third day he arose and he's still rising and he's taking people now to high places and he will put them in a position that they can never be removed. He is Jesus our Lord. There is no other. So pray with me that people will receive him today. If you haven't been baptized, it's time to be baptized. We're going to have a big baptismal celebration at Easter time. What a better way to honor Jesus than what? He arose, you get baptized. He died, you show him, I'm buried too. He's risen, you say, Lord, I'm with you. You want to live? You really want to live? Lord, I'm with what? You. So let God reveal himself today. Pray with me, Lord. Oh, precious Jesus. May your salvation be so fragrant. May it be so visual. May it be so revealed. Lord, that whosoever today needs to receive you will receive you. God, we confess as pastors and elders and leaders in the church, this church proper here, Lord, that there's no way we can bring anybody to salvation. What we say to them can only move them if you reinforce it through the Holy Spirit. So God, he who is, he who was, and he who will be, I ask you to be at this altar so strong today that we can't resist you. Lord, I confess without you there is no hope. But I also confess with you all things are possible. God, thank you for being here so real today. Thank you for the people that have already been saved today in 8 o'clock, 9:30 service. But now, Lord, it's our turn to respond. So may we receive the gospel that changes us forever. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, guys. Today is the day of Jesus' life in you. Receive it. Repent of your sin. Receive it. Come on, this altar's open. Don't stand there today. Let God change you and love you. And as you come, I pray that you will feel the power of the Holy Spirit changing everything in you. Come on. People are meeting Jesus today. Come on. Follow Matthew. Follow Jade. Follow their example. And let Jesus speak real into your heart. Come on. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on. God's doing something special today. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.